San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right. Good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you go on iTunes, you can search our title and get all the podcasts there, as well as our website, which is iymoney.com. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Doing great, Joe. I'm looking forward to the start of baseball season.
Boy, aren't you? Well, isn't everybody? Dick Enberg was certainly excited, wasn't he, when we saw him up at the plate
there? It's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting year this year.
Certainly have strong pitching, though. So. But why don't we launch right into it? We have a very interesting guest tonight. A few weeks ago, I was down at a pitch fest.
Not a baseball pitch fest.
Right. There's an organization called CyberTech and CyberHive. We'll learn about those more later, but it's a really great organization where a lot of entrepreneurs get together in the high-tech space. And this particular evening, I'm not sure how often they do it, but it's down in the Manpower Building, actually, by the way, down on First Avenue near downtown. They get together and 10 nominees get up there and they pitch their product or service and... And then they give out the award, first place, second place. And tonight we have the first place award winner, and his name is John Margalit. And John, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. I want to point something out really quick. I noticed an error in your intro. You said there were 50,000 watts of power.
Yes.
But I'm here today, and I'm 10,000 watts. So that today there's 60,000 watts of power.
No, you're usually 100,000 watts. I heard you on another podcast.
hey Joe, one other comment. We got to talk to Mel Katz about changing the name of his business. That manpower
person
thing.
Person power. People power.
People power. But
there you go.
That's so 1960s.
We could do Up With People, but that band's been done.
Yeah.
They were one of the, I think they entertained at the first Super Bowl, by the way, which shows you how much money they were making back then, which is, but anyway, times have changed. Anyway, John Margalit, welcome to our show. We know very little about you. We'll get into your businesses and background later, but born and raised where? And you got a great story. So start from the beginning. Childbirth on.
Born and raised here in Southern California, specifically in the Los Angeles area, San Fernando Valley. I was raised by a single mom who really taught me about business and how to be tough during times of struggle, how to overcome, how to be persistent. And really the what really makes a huge difference in all of my businesses is my ability to sell. And I believe that selling is in my DNA. And I think that comes from my mom and specifically her father.
Was she into sales herself or was that her?
She was. I think that I come from a long line of talented salespeople and not salesmen. And I think that, I was reading a book recently called Zero to One by Peter Thiel, and something that really caught my attention was a quote in there about what he feels are different gradations of salespeople. And he starts out with, beginners and novice and then all the way up to expert, but he says the highest level is a sales grandmaster. And then he says, if you haven't met a sales grandmaster before, it's only because... you don't know. They hide in plain sight.
It's kind of like chess. You get these different gradations, right? So
that's right. So I think that part of being very successful at sales isn't about being pushy. It's not about thinking about what makes you the highest commission or what products you want to move. It's about really loving your customer and listening to what they really need and want, and then matching them with the perfect product or service. And I learned that at a very young age, being in my mom's retail stores that were started by her father. So, like I said, it's really in my DNA, and I was taught by grandmasters, and I think that that's why I've been really successful.
What kind of product did your family's retail stores...
My grandfather was the first person to sell men's suits in a brick-and-mortar retail store in downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
And your mom worked there too, or no?
My mom did work there. She managed the store. And then my grandfather hired my father at the time, which he didn't know my mother, to co-manage the store. That's where they met, and then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
So my father, too, is a very talented salesperson.
Obviously. So went to high school, college up in where? Well, you went to high school in L.A. or?
Yeah, so I was afraid you were going to ask that question. I went to high school in L.A. in the San Fernando Valley. And then when I turned 16, I have an older sister that was at San Diego State here locally.
Ah.
And I got a car and, you know, I decided to go down and visit. I had thoughts of staying in L.A. and attending UCLA, which was my dream. But as soon as I discovered the co-ed dorms at San Diego State, it was all over from there, Joe. I decided this was the place for me, and now about 17 years later, I'm still here.
Go Aztecs.
So entered San Diego State what year?
I entered in 98, uh-huh. and I finished in 2002, but I'll continue to be honest. I stayed an extra year just because I was having such a great time.
You were on the red shirt. Okay, they That's redshirted right. you on the dorm team. So. Well, you know, we've had other great San Diego State, college alums that have been great entrepreneurs. We had Scott Slater from Slater's 5050. He's one of your fellow alumnus.
That's right. Brilliant guy.
And so, you know, they must be turning some good entrepreneurs out there. So you, what was your major there?
My major was business management.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that some of the studies that I did in communication also helped very much.
Mm-hmm.
But San Diego State is a really nice hotbed for entrepreneurs. They have an entrepreneur center there and program, the Lavin Center,
mm-hmm.
Which is headed by Bernard Schroeder, who's a very, very successful entrepreneur himself. I don't know if you guys know him.
I do.
And the beauty about the program is that it didn't exist when I was there, but I continue to go to them for resources and for help, and they give me a lot of time and insight in critical decision making.
Hmm.
And even though I didn't actually go through the program because it wasn't there when I was there, the alumni support is tremendous. And the value that they bring is, it's priceless.
Yeah.
So immediately out of college, what did you do for a living?
It's funny. Right out of college, I had this vision of being an entrepreneur as I did when I was younger, but it got heightened. And so what happened is that I stumbled across this opportunity to buy a small sandwich shop. And the sandwich shop was here in San Diego on top of Mount Soledad. And basically, a Vietnamese family owned this small restaurant. And they were very hardworking, very nice people. But they were stuck in a bad lease. And they had a communication disconnect with the affluent community at the top of the hill there in La Jolla. And it was very difficult for them to be successful. But the one thing that they had going was that they had awesome food. So So I came in. I signed this lease and turned it over out of their hands and basically left them an escape route. And I only had to pay $5,000 for the fixtures and equipment.
Wow.
So I took the business over.
This is a Scott Slater story. And, you did the same thing.
Well, no, it's not a Scott Slater. I wish it was.
I mean, as far as the entrance, because he had no money either and got in. Took over a turnkey operation, essentially.
That's right. And I wish the end of the story was as successful as Scott Slater's. But in a nutshell, what happened is that I thought naively I was going to be standing at the cash register, ringing people up and making money all day. But about 10 days in, I found myself cleaning the toilets, mopping the floors, and making sandwiches for punk kids that told me that I put too much mustard on their sandwich or didn't make their bacon crispy enough. So that's about my story. I was miserable there for a good year until I figured out how to turn the place around. I cleaned it up. I gave it a facelift. And I figured out what the community really wanted. I made a lot of upgrades to the services that we were offering and made it a one-stop shop where people could come at the top of the hill and do what they needed to do in terms of their errands. I even added a dry cleaning spindle, so it was a pickup drop-off dry cleaning spot for them because if not, they had to go all the way down the hill to do that. And by surveying the customers and going literally door-to-door up and down the hill and knocking on their doors and speaking to these people, I learned what they wanted. So instead of guessing, I directly spoke to them, found out what they wanted, and then I implemented those services and then was able to turn the business into a nice profit and then later sell it.
Well, you got to do your market research. Anyway, Eric, I think we should take our little pause right now. So we're going to come right back with John Margalit, a successful entrepreneur, right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back again with John Margalit, entrepreneur from San Diego State and on to other great things. So, John, where we leave off, you were at the restaurant, you were able to turn that around and got out of the business, and then what?
Yeah, and I you know, the business was profitable when I left. But I ended up breaking even as a whole because when I took over, we were making money. The lease terms weren't favorable, so the overhead was very tough to deal with. But then moving on from there, I learned a ton. And I realized something, that I was selling a bunch of low-ticket items like bags of chips, candy bars, sodas, and it required selling a high volume of low-ticket items. Mm-hmm. And I shifted my senses there, and instinctively, I wanted to sell things that were very high ticket items. So I got into the finance world and started basically selling loans, commercial and residential loans, as a loan officer. Mm-hmm. And I had to sell very few at high ticket item to make a lot of money. And I was really turned on by that.
Mm.
What year was that?
This is in about 2005.
So before the real estate market sort of went and the capital markets went sideways.
That's correct. In fact, I had just come in at the height of mm-hmm. the market, and in about, 6 to 8 months, working at a very large brokerage with about 100 salespeople, very talented people under one roof, doing millions of dollars in sales every month. I was interested in the marketing side of things. I was interested in how this company got the phone ring to ring so many times a day with people that wanted to refinance. And so I dissected it, I studied it, and I thought to myself, you know what, I think I could do a better job. And so what I did was I left the company with two other people that were sitting near me in cubicles that I felt had a ton of talent. We started our own business, which was a very similar model, but we tweaked things that we felt were the weaknesses of the brokerage we were at, we turned into our strengths. And in a year's time, almost everybody at the company we left ended up following us and coming over, and we did a tremendous job. The business was a beast.
So what did you tweak? Actually, just probably the marketing end of things, right? You marketed it much better. You took those lessons for your grandfather and your mother, right?
Yeah, I think that the main elements that we focused on in changing was the transparency. So a lot of people felt like they might have been bait and switched from certain offers that they were receiving in a direct marketing campaign. Mm. And I took a little bit different approach. I felt that people needed to see a very strong offer, but at the same token, I wanted their experience to be more positive when they called in and not such a big gap in maybe what they were expecting. Mm-hmm. So I found a happy medium, and I also trained people to approach the calls a little bit differently and to dive deeper into the bigger picture. When people called in, they were focused on what their rate was going to be. And really, it wasn't about that. It was about the financial plan associated with it.
The big picture, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because it's sort of a commodity-based business in the sense that everybody wants the lowest rate, and they don't realize there's other elements of value, right?
That's correct.
Well, I used to do this, a mortgage broker, and I would never put anybody into a negative amortization loan. I just wouldn't do it on principle, because there's no reason why you should be owing more than, at the back end, because they cap it. You know how this works.
Yeah, but back to my question, John. What other elements of value would you sell besides just rate?
Sure. So what I trained people to do that was very effective was to ask the prospects what their goals were in terms of their financing. Were they trying to pay off their home? Did they have any cars or credit cards that they wanted to pay off? And during what time? Did they have a college fund set up for their kids?
Did they intend to stay in the home or want them leave in 5 years, right?
That's right. So by getting a full picture of what their real financial goals were, we were able to lay out plans that made sense and then match the perfect loan program to those needs. And sometimes it might have even been a negative amortization loan, depending on what their goals were.
Right. If they were going to get out of the home in a couple of years, you know, there's nothing wrong with a low rate, teaser rate and all that. But, if they intended to stay there, not a good idea.
Exactly. So at the end of this, analysis, the loan officer would come back to the customer or the prospect at this point and say, hey, look, I know that when we called, you were after this rate, but let me show you a loan program that's going to be a perfect fit at X rate here instead. But at the end of the term, you're going to get your car paid off. You're going to have $100,000 saved up for, a college fund for your kids. You're going to get rid of your credit card debt, and we're going to roll it into this loan at a much lower percentage. And overall, here's your total savings, and we're going to accomplish your goals.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a much better sale than trying to lock someone at a low rate in a program or terms that don't make any sense for them, in accordance to what their goals are.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. So you stayed with that a couple of years, but you had greater ideas and greater visions than just staying in the mortgage industry. So what triggered you or inspired you to make this transition and tell us the next phase? Because this gets really good now.
Yeah. So what happened was I always like to be an innovator. I like to create and build things. And that's what inspired me to leave the company originally and start my own, because I wanted to innovate a better process. But a local bank came along and felt like it was the perfect opportunity to acquire my business. And so I ended up selling the business in around 2009. And it was a fantastic deal for me and a great exit. And then I started to take some time off. And I'm a gym rat. I love to spend time in the gym, and I'm there every day, and I'm noticing the same thing going on every day. People are walking around with a cell phone and keys in one hand and a gym towel in the other. So I designed something called TowelMate, which is a gym towel with an integrated zipper pocket that's hidden and out of the way, so it's very functional, and you can put your keys and your cell phone inside the pocket and keep yourself hands-free.
And there's an antibacterial component to this too, right?
Yeah, so one side of the towel says skin, and the other side of the towel says gym. And there's actually a layer in between the two towels. They're all sewn together in one that will protect you from, you know, any germ, sweat, or grime passing through from the gym side to the skin side. So if you place your towel down on a piece of equipment or you wipe off a bench or something of that nature, you know that grimy, icky stuff isn't getting on your face or your body.
Yeah. Now you did it. You to proof of concept, tell everybody how you test marketed this, because you didn't go out and buy 10,000 units and right? Tell them.
Yeah, no. So, I think that the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make and the reason why they'll fail is that they guess. And testing things is very, very important. There's no reason to guess. You can always get data. But sometimes people think that getting data is an arduous process and is expensive, but it doesn't have to be all the time. So something I want to recommend is Google Survey, which is a new tool that Google launched about a year ago. And with less than $100, you can get very compelling data on a split test. Price points, different concepts, packaging, all kinds of different things. But specifically what I did was I went to local flea markets and I said to myself, if I bring 50 or 100 towels and they sell, then I know that I'm onto something. So I printed out on a piece of paper from my printer at home and said gym towel with hidden zipper pocket. I literally just scotch tape it up on a tent. And before I knew it, within a very short 2 hours, right in the morning, every single one of my units was sold.
What were you selling them for? How much?
They were $20.
Wow.
Right. And now
$20 towels. Wow.
Yeah, the retail price point is
$25. Did you have girls in bikinis selling these?
I wish.
I'm thinking of Cool Hand Luke.
I probably could have sold 500 that day if I did, Joe.
So instead of me going, where's my keys? I got to ask, where's my towel?
Girls, right? Just kidding. Girls going wild with TowelMate. But anyway, so interesting. So you sold them. How many units did you sell that day? I got distracted there for a minute.
Oh, we sold over 100.
Isn't that something? $20. Wow.
Yeah. And the process of making them was something that was interesting too. I took to Craigslist. I found a costume maker at UCSD. And she was working in the theater department, and I went to a local fabric store. I bought some fabric and whatever material she said she needed, and she literally just hand sewed them all. And it was very inexpensive, and obviously the flea market cost me $50 to set up for the day, and boom, I knew that when they were flying off my little table there with the tent and a scotch tape up sign, I knew that I was onto something.
That's amazing. $20.
So how big did that company become?
Oh, we've done international distribution in a very short time. We did some remarkable sales. Not to mention, we were chosen by Tony Horton, who's a fitness guru, sure, and celebrity, a creator of P90X,
right,
as his favorite product, fitness product of 2013.
Wow.
And then, or 2012, excuse me. And then what happened was is that he made a video for us and we put it on our website and it really started to blow up. The next thing I knew, we were on the Today Show. And the Today Show picked their two hottest products of the year, the Nike Fuel Band and TowelMate.
Wow. So you had to ramp up rather quickly, I think, with production, right? So it must have been a nightmare.
We've sold and currently sell to a lot of big box retailers, and we have incredible sales online through Amazon and our website.
Huh. That's amazing. So that happened in a rather short period of time. So as far as getting funding in various rounds, tell us that experience, because that's always key to anything, the financials, right? So,
yeah, it is. So, something that I've had to gain expertise in throughout the years is finding investors and getting them to write checks, right? So I think that the most compelling way to do that is to tell your story. Every great product is born or innovation is born through some sort of necessity, some aha moment, light bulb moment, whatever you want to call it. But it was as simple as me saying, I was at the gym. I had this problem. I saw tons of other people every day having the problem. And I bet there's millions of others. And when I found somebody who could really connect with that story, who had enough money to invest, they said to me, you know what? I'm that person at the gym every day too. I have those same problems. I love this product. I want to give you money and I want to go and build this business.
Did you think of the antibacterial and the gym side, skin side at the very outset, or did that come in later?
No, I did. I did, because I'm one of those people that's a little bit of a germaphobe. Mm-hmm. So I was always wondering what side of the towel I had put down and what side I was wiping on my face. So I said to myself, why don't I label it and see if I can source some sort of material that can help, you know, mitigate this germ exposure.
Well, that is a problem. I mean, with the flu going around, there are a lot of people that probably do avoid the germ.
I would always grab two towels. Yeah. I'd have the one for me and the one to wipe other things off with. But that wasn't very convenient either.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's about time for our other break now. So stay tuned. We'll get into more of these germs and towels and good stuff with John Margalit right after these messages. We're back with the second half of Fix Your Money and Your Life, HowardMoney.com. Now over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
A big thank you to our sponsors. As always, we could not do this without them. Like our guest John said, we got to find some people with money to support the things that we're doing here in business. And that's what our sponsors do for us. UBS, Michael Carrancha and Drew Freitas. As always, you guys head up the list. You're the best. Jason Kruger, CPA with Signature Analytics, the best CFO company here. I used to say in San Diego, now it's on the West Coast because Jason has a second office in Denver, Colorado. Our other group of favorite CPAs, more traditional CPAs, Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, Don Epic and Paul Polito, sailing very smoothly through tax season. Joel Grushkin with Cost Segregation Initiatives. Cost Segregation Initiatives helps real estate owners improve their cash flow. If you own real estate, it is all about cash flow. Cost Segregation Initiatives. Stop Financial Elder Abuse Alliance with Paul Hines. Paul is also the CEO of Hearthstone Wealth Management. If you want to protect some assets or do some estate planning, Brenda Geiger, Geiger Law Office. There's nobody better here in San Diego than Brenda Geiger. She was also a recent guest on this show. Another recent guest on this show, Neil Staley. Mars Maddox Insurance is what they used to be known as. Now they are Hub International Insurance, the best employee benefits firm on the West Coast. And if you want to try to understand the new healthcare bill, well, Neil knows more about it than anybody we know, but always changing. Lane Elliott, California Republic Bank. California Republic Bank is a very niche market bank that serves wealthy families and family offices. So they do a lot of work with private equity groups and real estate owners. And last but not least, my good friend and also a recent guest on the show, Carl Sheeler with Berkeley Research Group, by far and away the best business valuation firm in the country, helping business owners, not real estate owners, business owners understand the values of their businesses and the risks that drive those businesses and ways to reduce those risks so that value increases. So big thank you to all of our sponsors. Couldn't do it without them. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about the great things that our amazing roster of sponsors can do for them?
Well, all they have to do is get over to iymoney.com and get their cursor over to the sponsor tab. There's a drop-down menu there. You can get all their personal information, background information, contact information, and they've all been working with Richard for many, many years with great success. Correct, Richard?
I've worked with all of them for many, many years, is right. In some cases, as long as 25, and I think I've worked with every one of them here in the first quarter of this year.
Wow, fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. So. Anyway, back to our guest, John Margalit, built a mortgage or financial company and sold that and then got into Towel
Mate.
He
threw in that towel.
And then launched Towel Mate. I guess you had to get the patent, and we're talking about financials and everything else. Maybe you can run through the financial. How did you do that? I mean, obviously meeting the investors is... it's always a challenge in getting to the right people. And you've got to some pretty big people. We'll get to that in a minute, too. But go for it.
Yeah, so when it comes to the process of finding the investors, something that a lot of people don't realize is that, like I had alluded to before, a lot of investors maybe like business plans and they like people that are running the companies. But a lot of the time, they have to connect. A lot of these people want to feel like they can add value, or that they truly have an understanding and appreciation for the space.
Yeah, they want to do more than just write checks.
A lot of the time, they do.
Yeah.
And I think that the other part of it is that you can have the best business plan, you can show the most profitable business model and great idea, but if the investors aren't in love with the people that are going to be executing, they're not going to write a check. Because at the end of the day, every company is made up of one thing that makes them successful, and that's people.
Mm-hmm. Competent management is what you're saying, right?
Not only competent, but... I want to use the word balls, Joe. I don't know if I can say that word or not.
That's a five-letter word, so you can say it on the air. Right. If it was a four-letter word, you couldn't say it.
Yeah, so...
how about bold? Let's go with bold.
Yeah, bold and people that are fearless. You can't have fear. Mm-hmm. In order to penetrate the market and box out the competitors, you have to be able to define who the competitors are, and more importantly, what you're going to do to them. And in order to do that, you cannot have fear.
You have to be like a pit bull, but you have to have panache in the same time, right?
Exactly.
A pit bull with panache.
There you go.
They're hard to find. But
so how much money did you have to raise, roughly?
Well, we raised $500,000 for production and initial market penetration, but we also got $1 million line of credit for purchase orders. So when we got to the golfsmiths of the world that were ordering golf towels, mm-hmm. bodybuilding.com, Bed Bath & Beyond, we were able to play with the big boys, mm-hmm. because we had the capacity and resources to produce tens and thousands of units. It's a problem if you go and pitch these people, but you can't fulfill. If you hit a wall with them in that sense, they probably will never let you back in.
Mm-hmm.
Were they made in the States, or did you have to do them overseas? Or?
No, we did them overseas,
okay.
Which led me to China several times, mm-hmm. Which was quite the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could make the products here and still maintain a profit margin, I absolutely would.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in business, Joe, to make a profit.
Of course.
And, I know that some people feel differently about this, but one way or another, we're creating an opportunity for somebody, and people are people no matter where they live.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a global economy. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Now, it really is.
Is there a website? Is it towelmate.com? Is that?
It is, towelmate.com.
I just took a wild guess.
So what was your growth factor? I mean, what kind of percentages in terms of growth did you see?
Oh, well, the percentages in growth from the time that we really caught the PR tornado with Tony Horton and the Today Show, sales went up about 200-300%.
Wow.
And from there, we started to see a huge uptick in the ratings and reviews on Amazon online, mm-hmm. and that led to a ton of more sales too. But the real traction came when the major influencer in that space, which was Tony Horton, went online on his website, on our website, on YouTube, and said, hey, this is the hottest product to get if you're a gym goer.
Yeah.
And that's what they talk about, strategic partnerships. Now, did you seek him out, or did he find you? Or
no, the funny thing is that someone from his office called our customer service center, which is a third party where they have college students there that answer the phone with a script.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept pinging me on the email saying, someone from Tony Horton's office wants to speak to you. I thought it was a joke. So eventually, after a couple weeks of this going on, I called. And then the first thing I said was, when I realized it was real, how much does it cost? And they said, no. Tony wants to do this for free. He loves your product.
Wow.
And that's what I said. Wow.
And you said, wow. Do you have Oprah's number there?
I don't know. If
while you're talking?
Yeah, I'd love to get
Does Tony really have as much energy as he appears to have?
Oh, he does. He's a phenomenal guy. I met him in person at the Fit Expo show in L.A. He is every bit of what you see on TV and what you hear on the radio, mm-hmm. commercials and the funny spoof videos that he creates on YouTube. He's just phenomenal. I've been around very few people that have that level of energy and that can transfer it to other people. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. a special guy.
Hmm. So is he based out of Los Angeles himself? Or?
Yeah, I think Tony lives in Santa Monica.
A lot of high energy up there, I guess. Huh? Well, we like it down here. Anyway, now you have transferred into... I know you've met Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and now at what point did they come into your life? Or did you go into their lives?
Yeah, so when I sold my finance company, I not only did I start Towelmate, but in the process, I was pretty sought after a consultant for startups, specifically in go-to-market strategy. And I was brought in, there was a Chinese company And they're the largest suit manufacturer in the world. I was brought in by somebody who's very close to me that works at this company. He's the global marketing director. And what happened was, by way of introduction, he found himself meeting Warren Buffett and making suits for Warren. And shortly after Warren received the suits, he was getting fashion compliments.
You mean he gets his suits in China?
His the only suits that Warren and Bill Gates wear are suits that come from Dayang, the company in China.
Isn't that something?
And so Warren was getting these fashion compliments, and he was like, you know, taken back by it because he's not known for being a fashion icon, obviously.
Right.
And so he called the chairwoman of the company and said, "You won't believe this, but for the first time ever, people are telling me I look sharp."
How many billion do you have to get for people to say that? Anyway, we got to come right back with John Margulies right after this. Stay tuned. We're riding into the home stretch here with John Margulies at It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show. So
we were talking about the fashion icon, Warren Buffett.
Yeah, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. So carry on.
Yeah, so, you know, Warren really loved his suits. And so the global marketing director was very smart and clever and said, "Warren, why don't you make a YouTube video telling the world how much you love our suits?" And Warren bought in. So he went on YouTube and he said that he gave all of his suits away to charity, and all he wears now are the suits that he had made in China by Trance.
That's something.
It really is. And so,
well, his business must have taken off. I want some of that Buffett magic. Get me in one of those suits. So
well, that's actually the reaction that the rest of America had in the suit world. And the company in China was just blowing up with emails and phone calls saying, "How do we carry the Warren Buffett suits?" I was contacted and said, "Hey, we need a liaison. We need someone to develop a go-to-market strategy and help us take this brand into the U.S. market."
So serendipity, you're in the right place at the right time.
That's it.
So success is where preparation meets opportunity, as we've heard before from Bob Evans and others. So, right?
That's 100% correct.
Yeah.
And what did Bill Gates have to do with this?
Let's keep on with it, because you met Warren through the suit connection. So
yeah, and Bill started wearing the suits too because Warren recommended it to him.
Gotcha.
And so I found myself, maybe 30 days or less later in Omaha at Berkshire Hathaway headquarters, sitting with Warren in his office, talking to him about this opportunity and what his level of involvement would be. And from there, we developed a really nice friendship that's gone on for 6 years now.
So the opportunity, what, marketing the suits now? Or?
Yeah, so Warren doesn't have any interest financially in the company in China, but he does have very close ties to the chairwoman because he appreciated her story. She started with two sewing machines, and now she has 32 factories and 10,000 employees.
And a woman. And a woman, right?
That's right.
See?
That's right.
Wow. How do you like that? So I've seen the pictures. So you meet him once a year, right, and have dinner or lunch or something and hang out with Warren Buffett. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's actually phenomenal. I get to visit Warren for a short period of time in his office. We have a personal chat. And then I get to have dinner with him and Bill Gates the following evening. And then on Sunday, we have a brunch at his country club there in Omaha.
Wow. So something must have struck you in a conversation. You said, "Wow, that blew me away. I didn't know that about either one of them." Does anything come to mind from all those years? Or are they just nice, decent guys? And
we happen to have more zeros at the end than the rest of us.
Warren is a very warm guy. We don't shake hands anymore. He just gives me a hug. It's little things like that.
He let you hold his wallet once. Tell that story.
Yeah, so this was the second time I saw him, and we sat down, and he asked me how business was going. And I started to talk, and then he said, wait a minute. He reached in his pocket, he pulled out his wallet, and he reached out to give it to me, and I didn't really know what to do. And he said,
"Run."
Yeah, right. Take it and run. So he said, "Here, I want you to hold it." So I took it, and he looked at me right in the eyes, and he said, "Trust me. It'll bring you good luck. And when we're done talking, you can give it back to me."
Oh, that's good.
You should say, you have to say, "Please."
Right? Yeah. So he's very personable. But a lot of what he tells me is that, reputation is very important in business and track record. So he says that, I think he's famous for this quote. It can take years to build a reputation and 5 minutes to tarnish it.
5 seconds sometimes.
5 seconds, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So, So you helped market the suits, and then you got into some high-tech enterprise, and we should probably talk about the Pitch Fest and how.
I want to hear about the first place award.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as I continue through my journey in Talmate, I'm dealing with a company that I over the years have automated more and more, and I'm still wanting to innovate things. And so I stumble across this opportunity that I realized that there's no go-to place for consumers to locate and hire photographers. I needed to hire a photographer for an event, and I didn't know where to find one, and they're expensive and things like that. So I created an online marketplace for consumers to go and find photographers at very, very affordable rates. It's called Toggaly.com. It's Toggally.com if you're interested in checking it out. But the way that I was led to CyberTech is that I'm doing $1 million raise right now for our Series A financing. And so what I did was is I signed up for all the local pitch competitions so I could get in front of as many investors as possible. And that's where Joe and I met.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had 3 minutes to go through my full pitch, tell my story, tell what my business model is, and present the problem, and then, of course, the solution, our website. And I was able to win first prize.
Well, you had a very strong presence about you. I mean, everyone else did a fairly good job.
How many people were presenting there?
About 10.
About 10, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I came,
good crowd.
Came in first. Matter of fact, when I emailed one of the judges the next day, I couldn't stay for the tabulation because I had another event to get to, but I said, well, that guy with the photography thing, he was very strong. I would have put him one, and then this Asian fellow with this SoundCloud competitive product, they came in one and two, and I had no idea.
So. Who are the judges?
Gentleman from Centrex IT, Ford Winslow, and a woman who, she helps develop, I guess, television media okay. products, and... And the third gentleman, I'm not sure, but the guy down there who runs it, Darren Anderson, very sharp guy. We're going to probably get him on the show and talk more about CyberTech per se. So, but is this the first high-tech product that you've gotten into? I mean...
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. And I know you were wondering what the prize was, and the prize is awesome. Usually the prize is either a cash prize,
right.
But in this specific instance, and the prizes, I've won prizes in excess of $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
I've won several of these competitions, and... But what was even more important was that you got private meetings with the investors
okay.
and an opportunity to get in front of a much bigger crowd of investors a couple months down the road. And so there was a great value in this. And a lot of the time when you get the cash prizes, they want equity for it. But CyberTech is really, really class act, and they do it the right way. You can really achieve your goals there. And it's a great platform for entrepreneurs to practice for the real thing.
There's a lot of good energy in there, and a lot of intelligent, sharp people. And I was impressed with the ethnic diversity and people from Italy and in India and China and young people and old people. I mean, it was a really, you know, the enthusiasm. I mean, you should check it out, folks, if you're interested in this kind of thing at all, and you can get some good advice if you're trying to launch some kind of product. So, so there you go.
So, what are your long range plans for the new venture?
The new venture is to go nationwide within 6 months, and it'd be the go-to place for anybody to hire a local photographer for any reason, whether it be a family portrait, a wedding, a maternity shoot, a headshot, a proposal, an engagement, you name it.
So you're kind of you bring photographers and videographers there as well as consumers, right? So it's kind of a brokerage house.
It's a marketplace.
Yeah. Anyway, we got to wrap it right here. John Toggaly. Toggaly.com, folks. Thanks for being our guest, John. Really appreciate it. Richard, always great to see
great
you.
Great to see you guys.
Absolutely. Eric Rubalcava, our sound engineer. Thanks for making it sound great. Thanks to Craig Blanke, our con executive, and to Dave Smith, our programming genius here at KFMB. You have a great week, everybody. Get over to iymoney.com and hear all these podcasts. Good night, and I will see you next time.